sixth Sunday of Easter, and we'll be doing our worship out of the Lutheran Service Book, Divine Service 1. Our hymn numbers are 594, 556, and 603. Next weekend, we will return to in-person worship if you are able to come. We will have four services, Saturday evening on May 23rd at 4 o'clock. On Sunday the 24th, there will be an 8 o'clock service, a 9:30 service, an 11 o'clock service, and then family unit communion under the awning at from 12:30 to 1. The 9:30 service will be masks required. The other three services, masks, will be optional. You should have gotten an email today with the details of different procedures, how we're going to sit and socially distance and such. If you did not get that email, please email me at pastor.judd with 1D, pastor.judd@emmanuelhamilton.com. Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father, most merciful God. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Renew us and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a call and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. Some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?"
Others said, he seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting, for you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean. Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ has risen from the dead.
Continue with the Alleluia verse. Love me,
you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who, what, where, when, why, and how? These are good questions to ask when you're trying to learn about something. They are questions I was taught when studying for my major at college in Northwest Indiana. Today I want to use these questions to examine a passage from our epistle reading, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Who? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, is writing to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These are areas in modern-day Turkey. Now, because as we learn in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, we know the who is not just the dispersed Christians 2,000 years ago. The who is also you and me. What? The Greek word for defense is apologian, an apology. I need to be ready to make an apology. You need to be ready to make an apology. When I work with premarital couples, we talk about how important it is to say those two words that can be so hard to say. I'm sorry. People are pretty proud by nature, and it doesn't come easy to admit that you're wrong. But it is so important. When husband and wife argue and there's tension between them, each should go to the other, give them a hug, and say, I'm sorry. Even if it's just, I'm sorry I snapped at you. You need to be ready to make an apology. But that is not the kind of apology that our text is talking about this morning. The word apology also means defense or justification for your position. But in your hearts, regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make an apology, a defense, to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Apologia. From this word, we also get the word apologetics, which is the practice of defending the truth of Christianity. And one of the confessional writings that Lutheran pastors pledge faithfulness to is the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, which is the defense of the Augsburg Confession, which was presented by the Lutheran princes to the Emperor Charles V in Augsburg, Germany. Always be prepared to give a defense for the hope that is in you. Peter gives us a powerful instruction. Stay ready. Know what it is you believe and why you believe it, and be ready to give a defense, an apology. Where? The where could be anywhere. We think about certain places that sharing the good news of Jesus seems more likely, but the opportunities can come up in the most unexpected places. When? Be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. The when is when someone asks you. When you are able to maintain the joy of salvation, even in the midst of a global pandemic, people will notice. When you grieve the loss of a loved one, but not like those who have no hope, people will notice. When you forgive others who do not deserve to be forgiven, people will notice. And they may ask you, why? What is the secret to your joy and peace and hope? Be prepared to give defense of your hope when someone asks. Why? Because you know Christ is Lord. Because you know Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. How do you know that Jesus has risen from the dead? You have eyewitness testimony. You have eyewitness testimony from Matthew, Mark, John, and Peter. Luke records eyewitness testimony of those who were there. You have the written testimony from people that were there that saw Jesus crucified, buried, and then raised from the dead. And these people spent the rest of their lives telling people the good news of Jesus because they know it's true. And they kept on telling people about this, even up to losing their lives for it. You make a defense of your faith because you have a good conscience, knowing your sins have been forgiven. You give the reason for the hope that you have because Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth and the life. He is the only way. And all people need Jesus. You want all people to hear the good news of forgiveness of sins and believe it. How? How do you give the defense, the apology for your hope in Christ? Peter gives clear instruction. Do it with gentleness and respect. I think we can all do with a reminder to be gentle and respectful, even with people with whom we disagree. I'm reminded of a traveling preacher who visits Miami University every once in a while, and he will yell at students passing by about all the evil that they're involved in, including wearing short pants, and how they are all destined for hell. That is not gentleness and respect. When someone asks you for the reason for your hope, that is a tender, vulnerable moment. They're reaching out to you. This is not a moment to be flippant or rude or snarky. It's a moment for gentleness and respect. It is a time to share that your hope comes from the gift of faith through the Holy Spirit. It's a time to share that you are a sinner who does not deserve mercy and grace, and God gives you mercy and grace anyway through Jesus. It is a time to share that Jesus loves you so much that he took responsibility for your sins and sacrificed himself on the cross as the payment for your sins. You give the reason for the hope that you have with a good conscience. A good conscience meaning that you know you're right with God. You received a good conscience in your baptism into Christ. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today we'll get to baptize 3 new babies at Emmanuel. How exciting is that? That they will too have a good conscience. But this is a difficult thing to get your head around. How can you be right with God? You're a sinner. You struggle with sin. You sin daily in your thoughts, words, and deeds, and yet you have a good conscience. You know you are right with God. Not from what you have done, but from what Jesus has done for you. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection have been credited to you. You are, at the same time, a sinner deserving death and hell, and a saint destined for eternal life in heaven with Jesus. Even though you are guilty, you have been declared to be not guilty. This is amazing good news. You give reason for the hope that you have, not as one who is a better person, but as a fellow sinner needing forgiveness. You are not up on some Christian pedestal looking down on the others beneath you. You're a sinner who needs forgiveness as much as the person with whom you're sharing the reason for your hope. Your hope is in nothing from you. Your hope is entirely in Jesus. You give reason for the hope that you have by declaring the truth that Jesus rose from the dead. At the end of our reading from Acts, we see Paul do this as he speaks to the Greeks in Athens. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, But now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Who, what, where, when, why, and how? Good questions for a reporter, and also good questions when examining a Bible verse. You have hope because you have Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. You know the reason. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord returns in judgment. Amen.
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Our prayers this morning go to Sheila Barbary, battling with brain cancer. Mary Lou Sandlin, recovering from a stroke. Scott Barrett, Tim Williams' brother, who has cancer. Brian Bowman, Bowman's son, who's awaiting shoulder surgery. For Brian's son-in-law, Lynwood Brady, who is recovering at home from COVID-19. For Gretchen Nobis, a friend of the Roche family, who's been hospitalized. For Mary Coyne, a friend of the Roche family, who's in hospice. For Pastor Lyle Roche, who's recovering at Bradford from pneumonia. For Carol Beckett, John Beckett's wife, recovering from a fall. And for all those affected by the COVID-19 virus, those who are sick, those who are sheltering, those who are treating, those who are protecting us, those who are continuing to provide essential services, and those who are unemployed and underemployed. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to your for the faithful proclamation of Jesus Christ to those who do not know him, that through hearing the word of the Lord, many may be brought to faith and to the knowledge of the truth. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the church of God here and everywhere, that all who confess Jesus Christ may be united in doctrine and witness, defended against all the assaults of the enemy, and eager to gather together around your word and sacrament in love for one another. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this parish, for the work of the kingdom in our community, and for the resources to accomplish all that God desires, that his name may be glorified among us, and his purpose fulfilled in our words and works. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the agencies and institutions through which we love our neighbor and provide for those in need, for the destitute and homeless, and for everyone who suffers unemployment and underemployment, that we may aid them in their needs and assist them to find honorable labor to supply all their needs. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the lonely who suffer the burdens of life without friendship or family, for those oppressed or weary of pandemic measures, and for the fellowship of the church, that we may bear one another's burdens and live in community with Christ as our head. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and those who suffer, especially Sheila, Mary Lou, Scott, Brian, Linwood, Gretchen, Mary, Lyle, Carol, and all those affected by the COVID-19 virus and other ailments, that God will grant healing to their bodies, peace for their minds, and consolation in their grief and sorrows. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, for the love of godly things, that we may delight in God's word and walk in his ways, and for the Spirit, that we may be led into all truth and kept from error and false doctrine. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, for the nation, for those who lead our nation, for the end of the pandemic, for peace among nations, and for an end to terror and violence, that we may work for the common good so that justice may prevail, life may prevail,
protected in truth abound. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have
mercy. O Lord our God, as we recall the obedient life and life-giving death of your Son for our salvation, we pray to strengthen our faith and to make our hearts bold, that we may not fear, but address our prayers to you in all humility. Hear us on behalf of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who even now stands before you on our behalf, pleading our cause with his own blood, until that day when we are delivered from the changes and chances of this mortal life, and stand before you in heaven, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Serve the Lord.